The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day. What's in your wallet?
This is the Will Cain Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Who's the greatest of all time? LeBron James or Michael Jordan? And while Michael Jordan might be the greatest of all time, how was he as a teammate? It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. You can join the conversation at 888-729-3776. The Last Dance, a documentary, a 10-part series on Michael Jordan, debuts this weekend on ESPN on Sunday night. The first two entries into the 10-part documentary series on Michael Jordan will air on ESPN. You want to make sure to check that out. But on First Take, Bill Laimbeer, NBA champion, bad boy Detroit Piston, was asked about who's the GOAT. Here's what Laimbeer had to say.
I'm very vocal. I think LeBron is the best player that's ever played the game. He's 6'8", 285 pounds, runs like the wind and jumps out of the gym. And more importantly, when he came in the league from day one, he knew how to involve his teammates to win. And that's something that Jordan had to learn for a long time. Now, if you go by championships, obviously Michael Jordan has more championships. But I think LeBron in any generation would be doing what he's doing right now all these years. And I think he, at the end of the day, I firmly believe that he's the best basketball player in the history of the game.
Bill Laimbeer believes LeBron James is the greatest basketball player in the history of the game. I disagree. I think it's Michael Jordan, and I don't think LeBron James comes in second. I think he might come in third, behind Michael Jordan, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and then LeBron James. Certainly the physical traits are there. Certainly what Laimbeer lays out is true about LeBron James. But there's more than simply who you are physically. There's more than simply who you are on the stat sheet. There's what you've accomplished. There's what's between your ears. There's also what's in your heart. And I think that it's quite clear what Michael Jordan displayed in those areas of measurement cannot be matched. Michael Jordan is the greatest of all time. But Bill Laimbeer is not the only bad boy Piston who we can put this question to. Because on our phone lines now is John Sally, who I haven't got to talk to in quite some time. John, what's up, man?
You changed your cell phone number, man. I can't even call and send a text to, like, curse you out when I listen to you daily. You know I don't agree with at least half of what you say. I miss you, Will. How are
but
you?
I didn't change my number, though, John. I didn't. My number's still good, buddy, so I don't know who you're texting.
I promise you, I even called my man Josh and said, yo. He said, hey, man, when you do Will Cain, I was like, in a second. And just to go on what you were saying just now,
yeah.
Remember, when we're talking about basketball, you got to leave the stuff on the court. You can't bring in everything else. Because
like
if we did, we wouldn't like Babe Ruth.
Because what do you mean? Like, what are you talking about? What stuff am I bringing in you're talking about?
You said LeBron. You said it got to be more than just what you do on the court. I think it just has to stay on the court.
Well, I didn't mean just on the court. What I meant is, like, Laimbeer talked about his size, his athleticism, his height. It would have translated in any era. But what I was talking about was not just who you are on sort of a physical measurement test, but who you are in your heart and your mind as well. LeBron's a brilliant basketball player, and I think he has incredible desire. But it's almost impossible to reach the heights that Michael Jordan did in those arenas. And that's why I say Michael Jordan ends up the greatest of all time.
Well, I think it was media marketing. To be honest, I think the fact that Michael Jordan came about during the digital age with video games, and so people were feeling they played Michael Jordan. I think the commercials with no one competing when Spike Lee kicked in, and I also think the media, the machine that every time or every Sunday you would say a game would be going on, and then there'd be a quick commercial saying Michael Jordan just entered the United Center. I think a lot of it comes from the propaganda machine to make you as big as you can possibly be. I think we don't have that machine anymore.
on a machine. John, what's a product of that machine? Are you saying our perception that Michael was the ultimate competitor or Michael's the GOAT? What did that machine create that you think is a misperception?
Well, I think, one, he never spoke in the commercials, and two, because I had to play against him, and because he's my contemporary, I mean, I've been with him since 1982, 83, it just seemed like, and we used to say that, when we used to always say, when you play the Chicago Bulls, it's 8-5, because the referees were fans. But and I'm not taking any win. Let me tell you, I have literally been noted as saying Michael Jordan is not the greatest of all time, but I did that only because I was a Piston. I know. I tell this story well, and I'll be real quick. I was playing, Phil tried to send Michael and Scotty home and was going to have everybody else play for a minute. And Michael knew something was up. He came in. He goes, no, Phil, I want to play. And all he had on was canvas, low-top, little kick-around tennis shoes that looked like Vans. He tied them up, and he played as if he had been taped and warmed up. He couldn't wait to play. And he got a steal, and I was back, and I said, well, I can't hit him, knock on his back. And I went to take off like I was going to defend him, and he flew by me with his legs up and said, block this, and called me a name as he flew by. And I get back to my hotel, and I call my mother, and I say, I think I just saw the greatest player of all time. She goes, it took you 12 years to recognize that and say it out loud. I said, I won't say it out loud, Ma. I'm just telling you. So I have literally seen what it takes. So I never take it away. I just like being the guy that always throws a monkey wrench in. Michael knows I think he's the greatest. He knows.
So you do. You disagree with Bill. You disagree with Bill that you think Michael's the greatest.
Oh yeah. I let me tell you. I'm gonna say. Because it's so hard to say the greatest of all time because time has not changed. But as I look back, I think they're still talking about Babe Ruth. They still talk about some of the great baseball players, some of the great old basketball players. I mean, Oscar Robertson walked up to me and said, thanks, man. And I said, for what? He said, for always reminding them that I played this game. So it's hard to do it, but I've seen the guy do some phenomenal things, and I've been on both sides of it.
John Sally, four-time NBA champion here on the Will Cain Show. But, John, I just got to – and I love having a guy like you on who I have a relationship with, and we know we can check each other and clarify. But so I have to ask you, if he's the greatest of all time, what are you saying is media hype? Like, what's a result of the propaganda machine? What have we gotten wrong about Michael, I'm getting at? If we all agree he's the GOAT, what are we getting wrong then? Because of the hype.
Well, this is the deal. I think he was the greatest in the 90s. I think from 19, he did some amazing things in the 80s. He didn't win championships because we were in the way. Mm-hmm. But from 91, 92, 93, 96, 97, 98, in those 6 years out of 10, there was no one better. And I can say that. But then Allen Iverson came around. And Allen Iverson then became the best player in the NBA at that time.
Yeah, but John, we're talking about all time. The last two words in GOAT are all time. Just you can't put Michael on the same level as Allen Iverson.
No, but I talked about in the 90s. I talked about – so what you're saying is – so you got to remember where I'm from, right? I'm from Dr. J. I'm from Bernard King. I'm from Larry Bird. I'm from Magic Johnson. Right. So when we were in college watching those guys, so those guys have done phenomenal things. They didn't win, you know, Magic won 5 championships. If you want to just rate on championships, I just have a problem with going the greatest of all time. Because if I were to say that in baseball, would I say Ken Griffey Jr.? Well, he never won a championship. That's the first thing they throw in. But everybody knows how great Jr. was. So I just have a problem with the all time thing. I think in the amount of time that he played, he literally dominated the NBA. What I mean by the propaganda machine was even proven in the video when Nike went and put all the billboards up. When we knew Europe was run by Adidas, he put Nike on his back and went around the world. And players like Kobe and LeBron came up mirroring his game. not so much of a Dr. J's game. So that's just my deal. I think he was the greatest player in the 90s. I always say that. But it's just hard to say of all time because I watched him go home mad. I watched him be upset. I watched him almost run people over in his Ferrari because Pistons had beat him inside the United Center. So I just see things I see things differently from being a contemporary and playing against him. That's all. I also feel that the video with the onslaught of video games have literally changed our concept.
I have like two more. I have a couple more things I want to talk to you about, but I have to take a commercial break. Would you hang out, or am I going to have to like rebook you some months?
Well, you're the only one getting paid during this pandemic. I'll be here.
Okay. All right. Well, then I appreciate you for hanging out for 5 more minutes for free, buddy. Okay. Cool. I've got two more things I want to talk to John Sally about. Was Michael a good teammate? And why does Kareem get disrespected? That's coming up with John Sally here on the Will Cain Show in just one moment.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges like overtipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
GEICO knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers, always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with GEICO on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
GEICO Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Michael may be the GOAT, but was he a good teammate? It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Tune in to Last Dance, a behind-the-scenes look at the 90s Chicago Bulls dynasty. The 10-part series begins Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN. And listen to the wrap-up podcast hosted by Jalen Jacoby immediately following the broadcast presented by State Farm. Available wherever you'd enjoy your podcast. We're still hanging out with Bad Boy, four-time NBA champion, Detroit Pistons legend John Sally here on the Will Cain Show. So, John, the other day we had a debate over the what's the best buddy cop movie of all time. Now, we each picked our favorites, and sadly, nobody nominated Bad Boys. We all agree it was an oversight. We all 100% agree it was an oversight. But knowing we were having you on the show, we knew we were going to have to ask you, how'd you end up in Bad Boys, John?
Well, it was a trip because it was shooting in Miami. I've been friends with Will since we were, 17, and friends with Martin since I was 24 years old. And I just went down to the set, and I walked up with Martin. He was doing a scene, and he said, "You want to come to set?" I go, "Yeah." And I heard this guy just yelling at somebody and going off. And I said, "What's that?" He goes, "Ah, man, young director." I said, "Wow." And I'm listening, and then I just yell from behind the camera. And he started yelling. He comes around. He goes, "Sally." And it was Michael Bay in 1990 had literally directed my Nike commercial.
Really?
A cross-chain. And I remember the voice. And I remember him yelling and screaming. He goes, "Hey, he's funny. We got to put him in a movie." And Martin said, "You're the director." And he goes, "You with SAG?" And I didn't know what SAG was. I was like, "Yeah, man, I'm with SAG. Whatever." And he said, "I got this crazy part, but no one's going to realize it's you until the last moment." I said, "I don't care. You're going to put me in a movie." I didn't even know I was getting paid. It was like $470. But after residuals, it turned out to be more. And that was it. Like, I was with Will for Bad Boys 3, and he was like, "Yeah, they changed the whole thing up." But I was just being in the right place at the right time.
You literally
time
got
being
that from just walking on set. Just walking on set. You were the computer hacker guy that they were working with. It was great because you played against type.
I took some poor guy's job, man. Some guy had the gig, and I guess Michael fired him and put me in. I love Michael Bay for that every day.
Was the residual check kind of nice? Did it climb up pretty?
Yeah, man. Like after, let me see. After getting paid, I think I made like $70,000 on that movie. Over time.
How long did you have to shoot that? How long were you shooting?
Man, we shot that in literally 2 hours. We changed the camera 4 times and that was it.
And
we were making it up as we were walking. He put the glasses on me. He put handcuffs on me. He cut my sleeves. I was so happy I did some push-ups right before, so it looked like I got some biceps.
John Sally here on the Will Cain Show. What a great story. Hey, real quick, on the GOAT thing, you know, it's always Michael and LeBron. That's the way it is today. I personally think that the guy that's insulted through this entire debate, John, is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I think he should be involved in any debate. I don't know that he wins out over Michael. I actually think he does over LeBron. But I have to say, you talked about bringing up the old guys and your conversation with Oscar Robertson. I just think Kareem is really disrespected in this entire debate. What do you think?
I say this. Kareem has always been overlooked because he was so tall, to the point where they changed the rules in college so he wouldn't dunk, because he was taller than everybody. And I think in that time, I think, the arm didn't like him because he had become a Muslim and changed his name. I just think he didn't get a lot of, and he wasn't very vocal. You know, he's an intellectual. He writes books. He's one of the smartest people I know, not just because he writes books, but besides that, he's so smart that he can, you know, he can literally teach people. So I think, you know, they were pushing a different look too, a different feel. Kareem was kind of recluse from what I understand. But I think they got the right person when they did start pushing Michael. And, you know, Will, my job is to always make your show, any show I'm on, entertaining and have somebody be able to say something back and forth. But I have to admit something.
What?
On your show. I know Michael's the greatest of all time. I just got to give him. I just got to get it to him. It may get to him. I get in touch with him and be like, you heard I dissed you today? Yeah, you always dissed me, Sal. You know,
well, I don't even know if you did. To be honest, you said he's the GOAT, but then you said something about Iverson in a six-year period. So I couldn't tell if you were giving it to him or taking it from him, to be honest, John.
I always want to be – and it's so funny because – you know, well, when we take over for Steve, it drives Stephen A. crazy that I even had these conversations. But I do know, man. I did this, you know, this documentary, The Last Dance, playing against him. You asked me to see a great teammate. He was a great teammate. Let me tell
really?
You one
That's,
of the
that was my
things.
Next question for you. Here's thing. Let me phrase it before you answer. You've already said he's a great teammate. Yeah. Jerry Stackhouse talked about his final years with the Wizards, and he brought up the idea that Michael was kind of older, you know, and he's still Michael, but the offense had to run through Michael, and it really took away from other guys on the team, probably notably Jerry. And there's been a lot of people. I know the thing with supposedly punching, you know, Steve Kerr. I just wondered, with that kind of drive and that will, that takeover dominance as an individual, does that make you a great – can you be a great teammate and be that guy at the same time?
Yeah. It's like being a good dad. Right. Somebody got to sometimes spank you and use the rod and reprimand you. But he's still a great dad. Mm. You know what I'm saying? He's still a great person, even though it may seem like he's getting on somebody at a time. But he was a great teammate.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what did they give you an example? I remember I come on the squad and I'm happy to be there because, you know, Jerry Krause knew. They had me come into Chicago three times in 1986, and they picked Brad Sellers. And I would always say, I'm going to make you pay for that. But when I finally was wearing the Bulls jersey, Michael said, Sal, what shoe you wear? I said, Nike, of course, if I can ever get them to give them to me on time. He said, what size? I said, 15, 16 sometimes, depends on the shoe. He said, all right. 2 days later, Will, when I came in, I could not walk in my locker room, into my locker. It was full of size 15, brand new, like Alonzo Mourning used to get them first. I had everyone in red and black. And I looked at him, he goes, yeah, we're going to make sure you look right when you play next to me. So that was the blessing of all. And we were allowed to smoke cigars on the bus, whether we were allowed or not. Steve Kerr hated it. Bus drivers hated it. But I like the fact that, you know, we were able to do something from the 70s and 60s in the 90s. I love it.
I'm going to have to put you on the spot because I know what you'll do when I'm on air. You know, I'm doing this thing now and I do some podcasts. I do some long-form interviews. Let's do one together. Let's, like, talk for, like, an hour. We have too much to talk about. Will you do that with me?
Well, I have emailed you. And that's what I was.
I just texted you. Quit lying about the text. I just texted you just now.
I know. I realized it was an email.
What?
That's what it was. I sent you an email because I was so happy when you got your show. And I was watching you, you know, fight and elbow to get in there. Now you're in there doing your thing. I so appreciate it.
I always enjoy our conversations. You're a thinker. You're a good dude. You're a happy. You're a happy spirit, and I love talking to you, man. Let's do it. Let's do it over a long period of time. Okay.
We got it, brother. Stay alive. I got your text.
Okay, it's John Sally here on the Will Cain Show. Coming up, there's been a trade idea floated for Dak Prescott. It's terrible. Next on the Will Cain Show.
This is Will Cain.
Cole from Georgia.
I disagree about millennials not wanting intellectual conflict because I'm a millennial and I watch your show every day just to get punched in the face, basically.
Will Cain. More coming up.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with Geico. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Let's say you were arrested somewhere in the South. Let's say you were accused of murder. I'm not drawing the plot of My Cousin Vinny. I'm just giving you a hypothetical that was put out on the internet yesterday. Let's say you were in that situation. You could only choose from ESPN and FS1 hosts as your defense attorney. Who would you pick? It's coming up on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. ESPN football writer Bill Barnwell recently put together a list of ideas, propositions. I believe it was a first round full of trades in the NFL draft. He got to one for the Dallas Cowboys, and it's one that has left some people very upset. Because his proposal was the Dallas Cowboys send Dak Prescott and the 17th overall pick to the Miami Dolphins for the 5th pick and a 3rd rounder. In essence, Dak Prescott is bait to move up 12 spots in the NFL draft. Now, I'll tell you, I like ideas, so much so that I never want to shout one down. Let's throw everything up against the wall and see what sticks. This does not stick. We have toyed with hypotheticals for the last several months before the coronavirus pandemic, even when I wasn't on the Will Cain Show. I remember a few months ago I was filling in on Golic and Wingo, and we discussed the idea of what about Dak Prescott going to the Miami Dolphins for two of their first round picks, and then signing Tom Brady and drafting Tua Tagovailoa. So it's not been the proposition that Dak Prescott is untouchable, although he's close to that. But it is that he's worth much more than 12 slots in the first round of the NFL draft. Cowboys writers were certainly upset with Bill Barnwell, and Bill Barnwell was on Golic and Wingo this morning saying he understands it's not necessarily realistic.
Okay, the most outlandish I can say for sure, that is Dak Prescott going to the Miami Dolphins at 5, although I think it makes sense for both teams in a way, because if you're the Dolphins, suddenly the AFC East is wide open. You look pretty good in December. You spent a ton of money in free agency, and you might think, hey, if we get a massive upgrade at quarterback with a guy who we know can step in and be pretty good immediately, we might be division contenders. And if you're the Cowboys, I mean, I still think that deal is going to happen. It didn't happen yesterday, thankfully, but if the deal is probably going to happen, but you don't want to have a Kirk Cousins situation like they had in Washington where you have a guy who thinks, hey, I'm going to go year to year. I'm going to get franchised. And in 2 years, I am out of here. And that's going to destroy your organization. So if you're not going to sign Kirk Cousins, if you're not going to sign Dak Prescott, if you think that there's just those contracts aren't going to work. And by the way, hey, Dak's only going to get more expensive over the next couple of years. Maybe you make that trade now and say, hey, we're not going to have that situation destroy us. We'll trade away Dak Prescott and then bring in someone, you know, like a Justin Herbert at 5. And that's going to be the guy we're going to build around on a rookie contract over the next 4 years.
It is true you could go through that analysis and come to the conclusion that maybe we trade away Dak Prescott, but it is false that you come away with the valuation that Dak Prescott is only worth 12 spots jumping up in the NFL draft. If the Cowboys arrived at the conclusion that Dak Prescott should be traded, perhaps we can save some money, perhaps we can get a young quarterback, hopefully it's not for Justin Herbert, hopefully it's for Tua Tagovailoa, it would be certainly for more than a jump in 12 picks in the first round. I got to tell you, I feel like the world is dividing into pro and anti-Dak, and the world is totally, totally off base on what is reality. If the Cowboys want to trade Dak Prescott, the starting conversation would be how many of your first-round picks, Miami, will we require in Dallas? The answer is certainly, at a minimum, two. More likely, three first-round picks for a guaranteed franchise quarterback. Not swapping first round picks 17-5. I don't know if the world has also divided this show. Nuno and Mike A, you guys have given me some pushback. You asked Mike A the other day what the market would be for Dak after the draft, insinuating that it might be small. And who's this typing right now? Nuno?
Yes. Wait. That is me.
But you know the answer to that question. You know the answer to the question you just typed to me. Read your question. Go ahead.
So if you're telling me Dak is worth three first-rounders, how many is Mahomes worth?
We did that on our show.
Yeah, and I feel very confident. Four.
And I feel very confident.
Well,
it's four.
If I'm the Chiefs, then first of all, you won't do this. And if I see Dak going for three, I'm going to need at least six.
No. I mean, I right now want to give you a beating. Like, that's a beating. Like, you want to give Pat a beating? Like, you deserve a beating. You're just trying.
Well, we're talking about a Super Bowl champion.
He's worth, I'm going to tell you something. We did this segment. I've already done it before.
I know we
Patrick
did.
Mahomes is worth four first-round picks. Dak Prescott is, I will tell you this. I think definitely two, and maybe not three, but I'd say two first-round picks and something else pretty good, like a second or third. Dude, you just made me say dude. That's how upset I am. I just duded you. And
I was doo-doo.
I know. It's like I'm all of a sudden I turned into a sophomore. I just turned 21. I'm at the bar and this debate just got serious because I just said dude.
Super Bowl.
Order the fireball shots. Dak is a guaranteed franchise quarterback. Even his haters, a.k.a. Dan Orlovsky, admitted on our show the other day that he's number 10 or 11 in the league, right? I say he's probably a little higher than that. He's probably somewhere between 7 or 8 in the league. Either way, you're getting a top third in the league quarterback versus the 50-50 bust proposition that is a first-round quarterback. It's two at a minimum and closer to three. And I'm not trying to say that's how close Dak is to Patrick Mahomes, but at some point you reach threshold. Mike A., are you with him?
I'm not quite at his level, but I'm certainly not quite at your level. I think it's two first rounds and something else.
What's the something else? Because that's basically what I said.
No, you said three first rounders.
But then I just now
you said
adjusted
at
it.
A minimum three first rounders. I think it's the two first rounders. Huh?
I said at a minimum two, possibly three, and then just now I amended it to two plus change, like a second or third. That's what I just said.
I would say two in a mid round pick, two in a nice player. Two on a slot receiver type, two on a guy that's going to start, but maybe not be a big difference maker for your team.
Hold on.
By the way, those first round picks need to be nice. I don't want any first.
No,
I don't need any.
They have two this year, don't they?
Let me ask that. Well, Miami has three, but let me ask Mike this: would you give up two first rounders, for and replace Sam Darnold? With Dak?
That debate's not exactly right because you're talking about what's the valuation difference between Sam and Dak. You're not talking about from scratch, right?
You're not talking about from nothing or Ryan Fitzpatrick, who we know what he is.
Right, so the Dolphins have nothing. The Dolphins have no franchise quarterback, so how many would you give up for a guaranteed franchise quarterback? The answer to that is somewhere between – the over-under on that is three, right? And Mahomes goes over, and Dak's right around two-plus. And I would say the – if I'm the Jets and you say – it depends on how much you believe in Sam at this point, right? And I'd
but
say
– But it also depends what the answer is to the question we've been asking ourselves for months now, and that's what does Dak want to get paid? That matters.
It does. You know what's funny is it doesn't matter to me as much as it does everybody else. I mean, the salary cap is it can be manipulated. You don't want to blow the salary cap out. But who's really ever put themselves behind the eight ball with the salary cap? What, the Saints?
Rams?
The Saints a few years ago? Yep, the Rams. But that's also about how they structured and who they decided to give it to, right? Not so much how much they gave, but who. An injured Gurley and a sketchy Goff. That's what the Rams have done. It's not about the amount. I mean, do you think Gurley would still be on the Rams roster if his deal was for $12 million instead of whatever it was, $15 million? You think he'd still be on the roster?
I also worry. I think
no. To answer my question, do you think it would be? I don't.
No, because of his health.
Right. So it's not about the number there.
But I think. All right. Here's I think the bigger issue maybe too is that you deem Dak as a Super Bowl winning caliber quarterback
without a doubt.
And at some point, you're going to realize he's not, and then you're paying you're paying him 37.
Or you just said it as though it's gospel, and Will realize it.
Well, I mean, it's you act like it's gospel that he's going to win a Super Bowl.
Like Nuno watched Super Bowl the movie.
Okay, hold on. Put a pin in Nuno's gospel, the gospel of Nemo. We'll get back to that in one moment. Plus, which ESPN or FS1 personality would you want to defend you in a murder trial? That's coming up on The Will Cain Show.
Did you know that you can listen to The Will Cain Show on your smart speaker? Just tell it to play ESPN Radio.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Because you have a monopoly on the truth.
Thank you.
Don't worry. More from Will Cain coming up.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Who would you want defending you in a criminal trial? I'll give you all the ESPN and FS1 personalities. Who do you pick? It's Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio. Save water this spring and get a more beautiful, healthy lawn with Pennington Smart Seed. It's a premium drought-resistant grass seed that saves up to 30% more water than ordinary seed. Gabe Godwin used to work at ESPN. He went to FS1. I met Gabe a couple of times. He used to work with Colin Cowherd. He tweeted out this scenario last night. What if you were arrested in the South? I don't know why he put it in the South, by the way. In the South for murder. Who would you pick if given the ESPN and FS1 daily lineup to be your defense attorney? What's fascinating about this is several personalities really wanted to win this outcome. I saw Nick Wright, for one, tweet out. He's never wanted to win any of these contests, but this one is for sure what he would win. Our boss, Amanda Gifford, jumped in. Did you guys see that? She jumped in and said, this one's a no-brainer. It's Will Cain. Mike, I know you've been putting some research into this. You're trying to find an answer that's not me, aren't you? You went into this with that stated goal.
Well, no. The answer wasn't you, because I have this feeling like I would be convicted because people just didn't like you. And the jury just didn't like you, and they're like, I'm not going to find his client not guilty because I don't like him. So I tried to figure out somebody else.
That hurts my feelings, but also
But it's also right.
No, you overestimate how much I'm disliked. You do. There's a vocal.
I answer the phones. I answer the phones, Will.
You got the wrong qualities. Go ahead.
All right. So I need four things in my lawyer. I need him to be smart. I need him to be hardworking. Mm-hmm. I need him to be likable, the only one that you're missing on. And obviously, I need him to be Southern, because lawyers are Southern. They have to have that. And the name that I'm trying to beat right now is Marcus Spears. We established yesterday he was smart. He likes to play those head games. He's very likable. And couldn't you just picture him in a hot Southern courtroom with a handkerchief constantly dabbing?
I think Marcus has more of a preacher vibe to him than a lawyer vibe.
I think so, too.
Amen from the congregation vibe to him?
Sure. The jury says amen.
He's the one that's giving you your last rites before you get electrocuted.
Different than a preacher. You just made him the executioner?
No, he's not.
Oh, the preacher.
Yeah, the preacher. He's gonna pray with you after Will doesn't get you off.
Okay, here's the thing, Mike. You got your analysis wrong, okay? Humbly, in order to preserve my likability. You got your analysis wrong. Okay, let's throw out.
Tell me why I'm wrong.
I am. We're going to throw out that I'm a lawyer. Amanda said that in her thing last
week.
Yeah,
I threw that out too.
Throw out that I am actually a lawyer. Although there is some skills learned that are exhibited in this process. I think a lot of the things you would make a mistake on thinking who would be your best defense attorney are also mistakes that I believe a lot of sports personalities really make mistakes on. I think, and I know I'm going to get on my soapbox here and get preachy and then destroy my likability.
I can see the jury already groaning.
I can see it too. I think sports is full of people that think being smart and making an argument means you're a good debater or you could argue a good case. And a case is both. You're going to have to make an argument but also respond to someone else's. And sports is full of people who go about actively closing off everyone that disagrees with them. I've never seen an industry so monolithic in its viewpoint, but not just that, so intent on shutting down anything they hear that they disagree with. And I'm telling you, a lot of your, not yours, Mike, but a lot of the champions who want to win this thing have gone about making sure not only are they incapable of understanding, not only are they incapable of responding, but they're totally incapable of hearing the other side of anything. So that's my main thing. So it's not about being smart. It's not about making an argument or not just about those things. It's not about having an opinion or passion or not just about those things. It's can you listen? And a lot of people think I don't listen. I listen when I'm on First Take, when I'm talking to a caller. I give you the respect of hearing what you have to say. But sometimes it's because I am going to about to destroy your argument. Any logical holes, anything in it. But you have to listen to do that. And I don't think there's many people that do that. Not many people. So I think it comes down to two dudes. If you are literally your life on the line, I think, well, I'm going to say three. Three guys you should entrust your life to. Nuno, are you going to entrust your life to me?
It's between you and Ryan Smith.
Ryan's a lawyer, so you're giving Ryan a lot of that.
Correct.
Right?
And there's this charm about him. I think he could sway, a Southern a jury.
I'm going to give you three names. These are the three I think you would have to choose from if you're looking to hire. Jay Billis. Of course, he's an attorney as well. He's really smart. I hear how he argues. I hear how he listens and responds. Clay Travis, that will make a lot of people very mad, but Clay is really smart, listens, and responds. Not always right, but he does those things. And me. That's your debate right there. That's where you get your life saved. Everybody else is going to...
Clay looks like the guy that's going to plead out and be like, yeah, I still won, though.
I'll fight to the end. I promise you that. All right. I got calls on my DAC trade proposals. Plus, I want to hear who you'd want to defend your life in a courtroom. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio.
Thank you for listening to the Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to the Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.